If you all would turn to whatever Bible apparatus you have to Psalm 63. Pastor Julian is away enjoying some much needed time with his family, and we send our prayers and our wonderful thoughts with him. So hold that thought real quick. If I am correct, this moment will be my last Sunday preaching to you as a seminary intern. This leg of the journey has been educational, beneficial, and my joy. Thank you all so much for traveling with me. I have been made the better for it. This current leg of my seminary journey has indeed been arduous. One thing that I will take with me is to have better sermon topics. Until now, sermon topics were chosen for me until I had to hurry up and get them to Jean to be put in the bulletin. Ah, the great mystery continues. Thirst Trap came about after taking a cursory reading of the lectionary text. Lack of water in a desert, trapped, thirst trap. And that's how you got the name Thirst Trap. I then, as a good student, printed three different versions of the text. I collected a few commentaries and gathered some pithy notes and quotes. I nestled into my reading chair with my tea, my granola, favorite reading glasses, highlighter, pen, prepared to spend my allotted time for sermon prep reading. Now, please go ahead and read for yourselves Psalm 63, 1 through 8. I whizzed through the versions, and I had many different versions of this text until I came across this one. God, oh God, you are my God. I pine for you. My heart thirsts for you. As a land parched, dreary, and waterless, thus I have gazed on you in the sanctuary, seeing your power and your glory. Better your faithful love than life itself. My lips will praise you. Thus I will bless you all my life. In your name, lift up my hands. All my longings fulfilled as with fat and rich foods, a song of joy on my lips, and praise in my mouth. On my bed, when I think of you, I muse on you in the watches of the night, for you have always been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I rejoice. My heart clings to you. Your right hand supports me. Messed me I looked around my room, my wilderness, and I fell to my knees and I cried. And I have been crying ever since. You see, I've missed having this kind of encounter with God, having to focus really hard, and I mean I have to focus hard on scholarly God, that I was starting to forget what it was like to have worshiping God moments. Yes, scholarly reading, going to school is a method of worship, but where I come from, the ability to lift your hands, stand before whatever God you call God, and honor and worship God, I have not done in a while. Here is this David man, marauder, helping me, leading me back to worship. Now, I'm a good student. Sure, we can discuss how this was a time when David was on the run from Saul and feared for his life. We can talk about how David's description of a steadfast or loyal love is a form of hesed that speaks to being in type of covenant relationship with God. We can also talk about how David's wilderness worship speaks to talking about taking the discomforts of the wilderness and turning them into a longing for God. Being without enough water, food, and has caused him to have all kinds of visions, the kind of visions that are divine and can feel the weight of God's glory in the space. David speaking of God's kindness in the wilderness, not knowing where and how his basic needs are going to be met, and instead of lamenting on the hunger pains, David turned it into a desire to praise God. David settled into his bed that was ground sticks that kept him up all night, thinking about God, and understood what God's protection was that covered him, clinging to God and to the lectionary curators. I see that you have left out verses 9 through 12 in the hearing of the people, and can see how that would have troubled the Lenten season of remembrance by giving super hope to seeing the desolation of enemies during Lent would bring a whole different kind of conclusion to this message today and empower us to move forward from a space of wilderness worship. Because for me, my truth, wilderness worship is not transformative when you expect the win in the end. Wilderness worship has his best transformative power while yet in the wilderness. Now, as seminary, I didn't think it was necessary for me to study anything further about the theology of suffering because, hey, black woman, I am acquainted with suffering. I don't need to study suffering. Not saying that all black women are a monolith. At the same time, I am saying that as a dark-skinned black woman in these yet-to-be United States, I have seen a wilderness of 4 decades of a wilderness. So I decided, with the help of Holy Spirit, to engage this text on a personal level. These are not tears of shame or hurt. These are tears acknowledging the awesomeness and the power that I recognize that God has in my life. How God has delivered my people, not just the ancestors of my people, my current people. These are tears of being currently in a wilderness. These tears honor God. These tears are a worship. These tears water the parchment that is in my throat. These tears allow me to see God for who God is. These tears allow me to receive love from God, to expect that love to come when it comes. I don't know when it's coming, but I have faith in the steadfast love of God that it's going to show up when I need it to show up. I will bless the Lord all my life, and God's praise will continually be in my mouth. My longings, that whole feast for rich food, I don't see that because my cupboard is empty. My refrigerator has yogurt in it that's a week old. But I live in a type of worship that expects God to deliver some kind of way, shape, or form on my broken bed. Oh, I wish I could tell y'all about that bed. When I think about God and He keeps me up at night, I have been kept up at night all week long thinking about this text and what I could say to these people, you people, us, that will continue to be transformative to us and to strengthen us through. I don't know if you all remember last week Mary's sermon about the shadow, the word and the shadow, how in that shadow we're protected. I'm protected not by a wing, but the shadow of the wing. There is safety in the shadow of the wing. And I have no other choice but to cling to that hope in the wilderness that everything will be fine. I needed to apply this song for my current purposes, for this wilderness that I am in, because I admit it, I'm an overfunctioner. And at the start of the semester, I was hit with life because life, you know, keeps lifing. And now I'm at the point of full capacity. Much like the Titanic, right at the moment of the impact with the iceberg. Anybody else feel like that? Functioning and busying at capacity, that's not healthy. And as a social justice activist, I do not know about you, but I feel as though in this wilderness, I have overfunctioned enough. Maybe this was just for me, and maybe I can have my mirror up here and just preach to myself, and you all will just be the audience to push me along the way. But I felt something was missing. Like there is something more that can be done that can fill this space, but no. Like, when I lost my son, I wandered in the wilderness. When I lost my husband, ooh, Jesus, I wandered in the wilderness. Only God, as water, could douse the unquenchable thirst of being parched with this dryness that I have. And instead of looking at possibilities of the future, before this moment, I was lying down in the perils of it all. The conviction for me came when I remembered that I had communion with God. What did that look like? That was intentionally taking time to focus on God and God alone, whether it was to sit quietly, to fall on my face, to cry out, to journal prayers, to just be with God in the midst of the chaotic wilderness that I faced. This is just a method of making room for God as we are fasting in this season. And it is in this space where I have found peace, a peace and confidence that only God can give. I've searched for God in myriad places and spaces and didn't get the help that I needed because I was looking to other people to supply the help that I thought that I needed. I looked to a bottle of wine to help satiate the need for longing, to help me. I looked to school to satisfy being alone. I looked to other places to find joy when joy wouldn't come. But now I remember that God, you are my God. And I've searched and couldn't find anyone else because there's no one greater than you. I've looked through many mountains. I've travailed through many valleys. There's nobody greater than you. I reached for the ancestors. I called upon my parents. But there's nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. If you can, just worship the Lord in your way, in this moment, in this time, in this space. We take this moment to reflect that we couldn't find anybody greater. Oh. Nobody greater than you. Searched all over. I couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you.
worship God in the wilderness. Amen.